Y'all ready to get in the Word of God this morning? We're going to continue in our prayer series. So we took a pause, took a time out last week because we were celebrating VBS, and we had to take advantage of that opportunity. So we're a week behind ourselves in our prayer guide. But this morning, so we'll pick up where we left off. And today, the message is going to deal with this topic, hindrance to prayer. What hinders our prayer life? If you would, stand with me for the honor of reading God's word. We're going to read Psalm 32. This is a prayer of David. He writes, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of the great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." Let's pray. Lord, this morning as we look at your word, I pray that you would give us the willingness to hear from you. Lord, that we each would grant you permission to search our hearts and our minds as we examine our own heart and life, so that our prayers may not be hindered as we pray to you, Lord. I'm going to preach plain today. I do understand that there is a strict judgment on my life in rightly dividing your word of truth, and I do accept that place, for it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. As we read Psalm 32, this is a psalm of David. Now, David was described as a man who loved God and tried to chase after his heart. But however, David was not perfect. David sinned against God. And one of his major sins is highlighted in Scripture and throughout the Bible. And it's the one when he committed sin against God through his affair with Bathsheba, as he was home when he should have been at war. He saw her bathing, and he looked upon her, and he was attracted to her. And so they had relations with one another, and she became pregnant. And so he calls for her husband to come from the war and invites him to come home. And hopefully the idea was that they would be excited to see one another, and then they would have relations, and then problem solved. The baby would be his. But her husband was more noble than David at that time, for he refused. He said, if my men cannot have that intimate time with their wives, nor will I, because I am at war. And so then David puts him on the front line of battle, knowing that he would be killed. Now, David didn't actually murder him, but in essence, he did, because he knew that his fate was sealed when he placed them on the front lines. It was then David had to deal with his sin. This sin that he had committed, though he may have disguised it outwardly as if nothing was bothering him, inwardly he says here in Psalm 32 that the hand of the Lord was heavy upon him and his bones was wasting away. Sin in your life will make your bones waste away. It will weigh heavy upon you. It will impact you mentally, physically, and it is what will impact and hinder your prayer life. It was not until Nathan the prophet came to speak to David, and he told the parable, and he said, "Thou art the man." And David then realized what he had done, and he cried out, and he said, "Lord, forgive me, for I have sinned against you." It was David who recognized that heaviness, that hand upon God that was crushing him, that it was through repentance and admission to God that would bring healing and forgiveness. Now, let's look back at verse 1 of 32. It says, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven." That word there, transgression, it describes a sin in view of our relationship to God. It pictures us as being in rebellion against Him. The second word there, whose sin is covered, is in relation to the divine law. We fall short of it and are condemned by it. The third, blessed is a man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, that word iniquity, it describes sin in relation to ourselves. It is a corruption or the twisting of right standards as well as our own being. And so this morning, I want to focus on three areas of sin in your life that will hinder your prayer life. And the first one is in our relationship with God. You see, David said this in Psalm 66:18. "If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." The Hebrew word there for cherished means to see. And what he's saying is if I see sin in my life and I cherish it and I nurture it and I continue to live in it and embrace it, then my prayer is an exercise in futility. Does no good. Because I'm cherishing something that's drawing me away from God. God's not going to hear my prayer when I have replaced my love for Him with the love of my own desire or my sin. And so if I cherish sin, if there's a hidden sin, oh no, if anyone is cherishing a sin, you've got a hidden sin that you're acting like for the outward, you put a big facade on and to everybody else, everything looks okay, but inside, you're wasting away, your bones are wasting away, the heavy hand of God is on you, and when you pray, it seems like God doesn't hear, and it seems like your prayer life is ineffective because you're cherishing something that is moving you away from your fellowship with God. When the Lord used Isaiah the prophet to call out the sins of the people of Israel, the people who were to love Him and follow Him and serve Him, he says this in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4. He says, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, children who deal corruptly, they have what? Forsaken the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They are utterly estranged." God's talking to His people, the people that had been delivered by Him, rescued by Him, the people that had witnessed miracles. And now they're rejecting Him and they're following their own prideful lust and going after other religions. And God says, "They've forsaken me." Sin in your life will cause you to forsake pursuit of the God who loves you. And they began pursuing all other avenues of gratification and pleasure in religion and sexuality and all of areas of life. We jump down to verse 11, and the Lord says, "What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I've had enough of your burnt offerings of rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required of you this trampling of my courts. Notice he says, you all are coming in here to worship me and you're making sacrifices to me, and I see it as a circus. I'm not pleased, I'm not happy. Are you aware that you can come to church and you can go through all the motions and your heart be completely far away from God? That sometimes the worship that we sing and maybe just the hearing of the word, it doesn't mean anything because we're cherishing sin in our heart. In verse 13, he says, bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations. I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. With you're all not loving me, you're not serving me, you're not faithful to me, but yet then you come and you try to worship me. I'm not having it, God says. I'm not having it. Verse 14, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Listen to what God is saying. He's saying this to his people, whom was the apple of his eye. And he says, because of sin, because you've forsaken me, you come and you worship and you have music and you have celebration, and it's sickening to me. I don't even want to hear it. You know, you can sing and worship to God and it's not a pleasant sound. You can preach and it's not a pleasant sound. You can lead worship and it not be pleasing in God's eyes. If you cherish, nurture, live in sin, it hinders your fellowship with God. How many of y'all have kids? How many of your kids have ever acted up? Anybody have kids have acted up? Okay. Now, when they're acting up, and they've chosen their own way, and they're doing their own thing, is that a good time to come and ask you for $50? Huh? No. It's not. No. Why? And so when we think, God is saying, when you're pursuing everything besides me, and you're going to express love to me, you're going to sing songs to me, you're going to preach and declare my word, I don't want to hear that. That's exactly what Jesus called out the Pharisees for, wasn't it? What did Jesus say? He said, you people, God was right. Right was Isaiah when he said, you all honor me with your, come on now, let's know our Bible. With your lips, but your is far from me. You've got lip service. It sounds good to you, but it doesn't to me. Because your heart is not right. You're cherishing sin. You're forsaking me. This morning, I would ask that we would all examine our own heart and our own life and allow the Holy Spirit to work and say, is there any sin that I'm placing before God? Am I cherishing things that I shouldn't? And is it causing me to run away from him rather than run to him? And when we do, what should we do? Well, the book of Hebrews says this, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad to know that God makes a way for us to get that fellowship back with him? confessors. And what do? When the Holy Spirit reveals to you that there is a sin in your life that you're cherishing, that you're nurturing, you confess it. You say, Lord God, you're right, I'm wrong. I have been harboring this sin in my life, and it's taken over and consumed me, and it's made my heart go away from you rather than to you. Forgive me, God, and with a true heart of repentance, God forgives and he heals and he restores. Amen. Parents, we've experienced that with our kids, right? They've misbehaved, they've not acted right, and then they come and they ask and they say, sorry. And you forgive. God is our Father. If we are a child of God, we're in his family, okay? The fellowship that we have with him, though, can be interrupted through our sin. So when we pray and we're harboring something in our heart that shouldn't be there, we're living out, acting out that things that God would say is that it's against God's purpose and plan for our life, then when we pray, God says, I don't want to hear it. I want your heart to be right. So the first area that we got to examine is there any hidden sin in my life that I'm cherishing, nurturing, that's making me forsake God and hindering my prayer life? Second is, am I doing anything contrary to his word? As the second sin there in Psalm 32, verse 1, it dealt with the divine law. Now, Proverbs 28:9 says this, if one turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is a what? An abomination. He says, if you're not living by the standards that I've told you to live, and if you're not listening to what I say to do, then when you pray, it's an abomination. It's a mockery. Now, I know this is heavy stuff, right? This is why I didn't preach this on VBS Sunday. But now listen, this message is freeing because if our prayers are hindered, we need to know about it. And if there are certain things that I'm doing that hinders my prayer life, I need to know about it so I can fix it. And so scripture says, if you are just going to ignore what God says, your prayers are like an abomination. It's like, you know, again, parents, we got kids. If your kids aren't going to do what you asked them to do, how does that make you feel? Happy and loved and supported and honored? No. Right? God says, I've given you the word of God. Here's how you are to live. If you follow my commands, then here, you're going to walk in the light of hope, peace, joy, love, kindness, all these things I've given you. You walk in this, you follow my statutes. Jesus said that if you love me, you'll obey my commands. If we walk after the Lord and do what he says, then he's going to give us the blessings that he's promised. But he can't bless something that when you're doing completely opposite, right? Now, how are you going to pray? How are you going to pray to God for him to bless an area of your life when you're living completely contrary to what his word says? Huh? Come on now, I'm about to preach here in just a moment. You ready? How are you going to ask God to bless your dating relationship when you're not dating in a way that honors God? And then ask him to bless your marriage when you're living together. I'm preaching better than your amen in me this morning, but that's okay. We'll do it. We'll do it. We'll go all day. Here we go. How's this one? How's this prayer? Lord, bless my finances. Lord, bless my finances. But you ain't doing nothing that the word of God says about your finances. Just racking up debt. Lord, I'm in trouble. I need help. Bless my finances. Well, he can't answer that prayer. That's an abomination to him because he's given you his word and how you're to handle your money. You You fighting and fussing and feuding with your wife, Lord, and you're asking God to do this and do that. He says, I told you to love your wife like Christ loved the church. Get that fixed, then come back to me. We ask God, give me a better job. Bless me at my job. But you ain't working like Jesus is your boss. I'm going to amen myself. That's okay. You out there being sorry, not getting to work on time, not doing your job. And you're saying, Lord, bless me. Well, he can't bless you. That's an abomination because he's told you how you're supposed to work. And so we have the word of God. And when we're living contrary to how God says, then we go to him in prayer. It's a mockery. And so that's another reason why sometimes our prayers are hindered, or it seems like that we pray and nothing happens. Well, check those two areas. Here's the third area. You ready? Number three. The other thing that gets in the way of our prayers is ourselves. James 4, verse 1. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among us, among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? Look at that. This is an inward thing. This is a me thing. Say it's a me thing. Okay? It's not them. It's me. That war within you. Verse 2, you desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. When we ask with wrong motives, that hinders our prayer. He says, you ask and you don't receive. And the reason why you don't receive is because you're asking wrongly. Well, how am I asking wrongly? You're wanting to spend it on your own passions, your own desires, your own fleshy lust. So that you can have maybe more, be more, do more, all of this. But Jesus said, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for the kingdom rule of God to be lived out in our life first, and then our daily bread. We're citizens of heaven. Our citizenship is there, and we are here to represent heaven. God's standard, God's ways. We speak the language of heaven. We live by his rules. Parents, how many of y'all said, you live under my house, you're going to live by what? Yeah, we said that one, haven't we? Guess whose house this is? God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's his house, his rules. We say, Lord, what do you want? Jesus prayed that, didn't he? Lord, if it's possible, remove this cup from me, but yet not I will, but what? Your will be done. Submitting to God's will, God's purpose, God's plan. Lord, do you want me to have this? Is this a desire for you? Is this going to help the kingdom work? Is this going to make my life more impactful for your glory and your honor? Does this put me in a position to be obedient to you, to serve you, to love you, to follow you? But he says that the problem is that these war within us rages. And the problem, again, the problem is with me, not them. You see that? We wanna blame everybody else, but it starts here. I envy. If I envy somebody for them having something, is the problem because they have something? No. It's not their problem. That's my problem. If I hate someone, regardless if they've done me wrong, if they've said something about me, if they've hurt me, if they've done something, if I hate them, is that their problem or my problem? That's my problem. You know why? Because even though I might not have any power over what they have done to me, they have no power about how I respond to that. I can forgive. I can let things go. I can move on. If I want to harbor anger and bitterness and all this stuff, then that's on me, not them. If I lust, is that because somebody looks good? Is it their fault? No. Whose fault is it? That's your fault. That's on you. Jesus said it this way. It really doesn't, it doesn't matter what you eat because you're going to eat it, it's going to go in, and it's going to come out. But it's the things that come out of the mouth that defile a person, because the things that come out of the mouth is an indication of what's in the heart. The way that we harbor things of our own fleshy desires, greed, lust, pride, envy, anger, all of those things, that will hinder my prayer life. And not only that, but then that in turn impacts how I behave and treat other people. And the way that I treat other people hinders my prayer life. I hinted at this earlier. 1 Peter says this. 1 Peter 3:7, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. You see that, guys? The way you treat your wife could hinder your prayers. Now, ladies, don't get all offended at the weaker vessel comment, okay? What that means is Peter's saying that for the most part, men are stronger. We're physically stronger. Now, I know there's somewhere, some place where a woman could be stronger than a man, but in general, men have more strength than women. God's made us that way, and because of that, women become vulnerable in a marriage for their own physical safety. That's why we see a lot of abuse that happens, that men, because of their strength, they overpower, they're overbearing, they can physically harm and physically abuse their spouse. He says, no, you need to honor your wife because she's precious. She's valuable, delicate. You don't crush her. You don't be harsh. You love her. Because if you don't treat your wife right, Peter says, your prayers are hindered. Not only our relationship with our spouse, but just relationship with other people. That's why the Bible says there in Mark 11:25, and whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. It hinders your prayer life. If before you're praying, if you're at odds with someone, if you're holding bitterness towards someone, you've got to forgive them, or it's going to hinder your prayer life. In Matthew it says, if you're here and you bring your offering, you know that you have something against somebody, lay it down, go make that right, and then come offer that. Because the way that you treat other people also affects your prayer life, affects your communication with God. Now, Jesus said it this way. When he was asked, what are the two greatest commandments? Like, hey, Jesus, could you sum up the Old Testament for us? Could you give us the Cliff Notes version? He said, here it is. Love the Lord your God mind and strength, right? Or just strength. Love God with everything. Don't let sin, don't cherish sin. Don't relish in sin. Don't disobey my word. Don't let the fleshy desires that war within you control you. And then he says, the second one is this. Love your what? Neighbor as yourself. The way that you love God and the way that you love people impacts your prayer life. That's why if you have anger in your heart, you need to get it. You need to let it go. If you have bitterness, if you have jealousy, if you have pride, you have lust, immoral thoughts, whatever it is that's consuming you, you got to confess that. If you're mistreating people, if you're going to work and you're angry, you're like, oh, I can't stand him and I can't stand her and everybody else, oh, my boss, and you're just so angry. And maybe you're mistreating people and you're using people and you're cheating people and all this stuff that's going on. You got to get that right. You got to call upon the Lord while he may be found. When God used Isaiah the prophet to try to capture the hearts of his people back to him. You see, when God disciplines us, parents, how many of y'all have disciplined your children before? When you discipline them, it's never to pay them back. It's always to win them back. It's to gain their affection back. When God has his heavy hand upon us and he brings discipline to us, it's not to get us back, to pay us back. Oh, got you. But it's to capture our affection and our heart back towards him. And he says this. In Isaiah, starting verse 16, he says, wash yourselves and make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause. They were living in such a way that it was completely selfish, egocentric, me-centered life. Sought their own pleasure, sought their own well-being, was mistreating their own fellow Hebrew people. They weren't loving God and they weren't loving others. So he says, you need to understand what's going on. You need to see this sin that's going on and you need to correct this. You need to get this right. But I'm so glad that God just doesn't leave us to figure that out for ourselves, aren't you? Huh? Aren't you glad that God makes a way for us to be restored and renewed and made whole? Because he says this there in verse 18, come now, it's an invitation, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. He says, come, let's talk about it. What's going on, really? Where are you at? Why has it been so long since you've called upon my name? Why are you harboring things in your heart that doesn't need to be there? Why are you so bitter? Why are you so angry? Why are you so full of hostility and pride and greed? And why is it consuming you? Come, let's talk about this. Let's get this made right and come to me. All you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This morning, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to do a work in our heart and say, Lord, if there's anything in my life that's taking me away from you, that's hindering my prayer, I want to get that out. And I want to run and ask for your grace and mercy, because I know that in Jesus I have been forgiven, set free, and made whole. And if I confess my sin, you are faithful and you are just, and you will forgive me of my sin. And that fellowship will be renewed. That's why David prayed, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, this morning, I pray that you would do a work among us. Lord, I don't want my prayer to be hindered. I hope that no one here today wants their prayers to be hindered. But I'm sure that we can all say there's times in our life when we've acted and done these things that has hindered our prayer. So Lord, search our heart and search our mind. Lord, bring to attention anything in our life that we need to put down. May we look to the cross of Christ and Jesus, who died for our sin, who gave us victory over our sin, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we might have victory. So let us, God, look to you in all things. This morning, I pray that we would be drawn near to you. Lord, there's someone here today that's never called upon you, trusted in you as Lord and Savior, that today they would confess their sin and they would call upon the great name of Jesus, and that you might save them and redeem them so that they might have everlasting life with you. In Jesus' name, amen.